At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a great show this week. We have radio legend Dan Patrick on the podcast. And then, of course, we have Traina Thoughts with my buddy, Sal Licata. Before we get to it, let me just remind you, if you've missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, you need to go into the archives, give them a listen. Subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it on Apple. Most importantly, though, subscribe to the podcast. We had Bill Simmons from The Ringer on last week. We had Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the podcast 2 weeks ago. So if you missed those, give them a listen. And again, subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. And like I said, this week we've got Dan Patrick talking about his radio career, the state of radio, get into some stuff about concerts, which was really interesting, the art of doing an interview. So Dan was excellent. And then, of course, a bunch of topics with Sal Licata in the Train of Thoughts segment. All right, let's get to it. Dan Patrick followed by Sal Licata and Train of Thoughts all right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, second time he's been on the SI Media podcast with me. Always appreciate it. Radio legend, former SportsCenter host, does a bunch of other things, author, which we've got to discuss, Dan Patrick. Dan, how are you today?
Jimmy, spectacular.
Glad to hear that. And Dan does have a new book out, The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, which he wrote with Joel Cohen from The Simpsons, so we'll talk about that. I wanted to get into a few other topics first. Sure. Let's start with this. In July, you signed a new four-year deal to stay on doing your radio show and the simulcast on Peacock. And then in the middle of all that, said, you're done in 4 years, you're retiring, it's all over. It's only been a few months since then, but is that still the plan? Is it in stone? You're gone in 4 years, or, you know, no one seems to ever leave the radio. So I wanted to catch up with you on that topic first.
Yeah, I think day to day that I set an end date, an expiration date, and I'll adhere to that. I think it'll be Christmas Eve in 4 years. That'll be the last show that I do. And if I do some form of a weekly, monthly podcast, maybe something like that, but I still kind of put it in writing, put it on the radio, and I'll go out probably in 4 years, a little over 4 years.
Number one reason why you want to end it in 4 years at the end of 2027?
I want to make sure that I have enough energy to do it every single day. It's 3 hours. It's live. I'd like to think that we do it as well, if not better, than any other show out there. I want to continue those standards. And 4 years gives my guys a chance to start planning if they want to do something else. But I want to be laughed with, not at. I want to make sure I'm doing it at a high level, or what I perceive to be a high level. And I think I'll be towing up to the line in 4 years.
So in doing a little research for the interview, and let me just say, it's always a pain doing research to interview for you because you share the name of a Texas Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. So when you Google Dan Patrick, Yeah. It's a big disaster. Just so it's a problem. But I had, when you announced that in July, I had written something about it and totally forgot because I write every day. So I can't remember what I write. And the memory goes as you get older. And I wrote at the time, I hope you're not going to hang it up just because at that time you'll be 70 or 71 years old. To me, if you've still got it, don't let age be a factor. I'd love for you to comment on that.
Yeah, age wasn't the factor as much as just being healthy, being able to do it, have the energy, have the passion to do it. But I've enjoyed this more in the last 15 years than I enjoyed 17 years at SportsCenter. I had a window at SportsCenter when I was working with Keith Olbermann where we were doing something different that nobody else had done. And there was enjoyment in that. It was fun. It was live. It was at 11 o'clock Eastern every night. There was a tune-in factor. There was a buzz about it. And, you know, I feel this way. I feel energized by doing that. But, you know, I think when you're trying to do it at a certain level, people tune in and have those expectations. And I want to make sure that I'm doing it and having that energy. I'll listen to shows from previous years. I just want to make sure I match that energy and that enthusiasm, that excitement. Because if not, then it'll feel or sound the way it did the last couple of years I did SportsCenter when I didn't have that energy and I wasn't as excited and I didn't think it was anywhere near what quality of a broadcast I should be doing. And that was part of the reason why I left SportsCenter. Mastered it.
That's really interesting to me. So what would you say, what, your last year or two at SportsCenter, you didn't think you were doing a great job?
Yeah, last 2 years, definitely.
And why do you think that was?
I don't know. I think I had challenged myself when Keith left, Chris Berman stopped doing SportsCenter, Bob Lee stopped doing SportsCenter, Mike Tirico did, Chris Myers left, Chris Fowler left. Everybody sort of left the building, and I was that last guy. And then I looked around, and I go, I sort of need to find a new passion with this because it wasn't there. And look, there were younger people who came in, and it wasn't anything against them. It was just I was there with a lot of talent, and SportsCenter was different then. Now you can find out everything. Now there's social media. There wasn't the tune-in factor. I vividly remember throwing it out to Sal Palantonio for a live shot. And in my mind, I'm saying, man, you're going through the motions. And I remember telling my wife, I went home and I said, am I mailing it in? And she goes, I don't know what that means. I said, am I still excited to do this? I'm really starting to question this. And she said, only you would know. And, I started to reflect on it and I started my exit plan. I was just like, I got to do something different and it's probably not going to be at ESPN.
And you said that this run now with your radio show, Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day, Peacock and Fox Sports Radio currently, you said this has been more exciting than anything you've done, more enjoyable than anything you've done. Why is that?
I think it's a true reflection on me and my personality, what I want to cover, what I want to talk about, the fact that I have guys here in studio with me, sort of a studio audience that's able to respond to you. I still love the medium. I love radio. I've always loved radio. You throw in a simulcast where I wanted to have sort of a Truman Show, if you're familiar with the movie, where there's cameras covering everything. Let people see really what goes on during a radio show. And I have wonderful people to work with. And we have fun. I mean, I got guys, so we're an hour and a half done with the show, and I still have guys who are here. They're just hanging out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether they're playing basketball, I mean, there's so many different things to be able to do here. I just wanted that atmosphere of it's 12 minutes to get to work. I'm able to, you know, be around my family more, and I'm still challenged by it. It's a lot of fun.
So would you say this has been even more enjoyable than your peak with Keith when you guys were must-see TV and pop culture and part of Americana and all that?
It's different, Jimmy. Nobody could prepare us for what happened back in the 90s because we didn't know who was watching. We weren't given data that says, man, you guys are popular. We were working in Bristol, Connecticut. We're not in New York or L.A. We had no idea popularity-wise. And then all of a sudden, I remember TV Guide came out, might have been 1995, said 10 best shows to see, watch, and one was Keith and I on SportsCenter. And we're like, wait a minute. Like, there are people out there who are watching this show. And then you got feedback from whether it was athletes or, you know, entertainers or musicians. And it kind of was something that I wasn't prepared for, because I didn't get into the business to be popular. I got into the business because I didn't have a backup plan. I didn't have a plan B when I was going to college or growing up. And this is different because I've been in the industry. I know the industry, movers and shakers in the industry. And I wanted to kind of cut out all that nonsense. I just wanted to do a show. I hope you like it. We've been honored with, I think, five sports Emmy nominees and nominations. And we're just 12 people. And I love that. You know, we're going up against, you know, pardon the interruption, or SportsCenter, or Baseball Network. I mean, all of these big shows. But, you know, we do it. It's fun. It's fun being an underdog every single day coming in. Or at least that's the feeling we have.
You said you still love the medium of radio. I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to ask you about radio, because I feel like in this quickly, rapidly ever-changing landscape of sports media, you know, we've seen it. Everything's going to streaming in terms of what we're watching on television. People are getting information from social media. And I feel like radio is this thing that is still there. I don't know. I don't know how people consume it. I don't know if younger people are into radio. I'm still a radio guy. I think radio has been helped by the changes in that everything, you can listen to everything sort of on demand. I mean, you're a huge Howard Stern guy. I'm a Howard Stern guy. Some days I listen right at 7 a.m., but sometimes I started at 8 a.m. and I can go back. Where do you think the state of radio is right now in this climate that's very confusing, I think, sometimes in the sports media bubble?
I don't know how many people still want to do radio. A lot of people want to do podcasts. Everybody wants to be on TV.
Right.
I didn't enjoy TV. It's a lot
Why
of
not?
Work. It just, okay. It wasn't fun from the standpoint of, I mean, everything is mapped out, you know, to the second. And you might have 32 seconds to talk about this. Or you got to highlight over here, and you got to, you know, do a on-camera read. You know, I mean, there could be a variety of things. It's just, it's not as freelance fun as what radio is. And I just love where I can say something on radio. And if I give you a visualization, it's up to you. You put that in your head. I mean, the power of that to connect with somebody in their car, in their home, and it's just your voice. There's nothing there to dress it up. It's just your voice, your thoughts. And I just think that's really powerful. It's always been that way with me. Growing up, radio was really important. I came from a radio background with a couple of members of my family. And I just had great appreciation for that voice that's in that radio. Not, you know, somebody wants to be on TV. Even, you know, I respect podcast, but I still think that radio is the purest form of what we do, because you can call in, you can email the show, you can tweet the show. So you have a relationship with your audience in real time. And I cherish that. I never, ever dismiss that. It's important that they know that you're kind of talking to them one-on-one.
Well, I'm just curious. In today, you know, 2023, October 25th, 2023, what moves the needle these days on your show in terms of audience and getting attention and feedback? Everyone knows, like, there's the Jordan LeBron thing, which I don't think moves the needle anymore. I think when people hear that, they just want to hang themselves. But what do you think moves the needle these days?
I don't fall into the trap, and maybe it's not fair to say trap, and I don't want to program somebody else's show, but I don't troll you and say, let's talk about the Cowboys, let's talk about LeBron. When it's important to talk about them, then I think my audience takes note. But if I came on and I tried to kind of shoehorn them in every single day, then I think my audience would read through the lines with that. I cover what I need to cover when I need to cover it. And it that may sound, you know, a little vague, but really that's what it is. You come in and you go, what are you passionate about today? What bothers you today? And then I think your audience buys into you. They trust you. If you have a guest on, your audience will trust that you're having somebody on they find interesting, or they will because you do. And I think the passion you show with a topic, with an interview, translates hopefully, or is, you know, kind of by proxy to your audience. Then they're going to go, oh, okay, if he's having them on, they must be really important. Or if they're talking about that, it must be important or interesting or funny.
I've always said, I've written this for SI.com. I said it to you, I think the last time you were on the podcast, I used to say it to my good friend, Andrew Perloff. He used to be on your show all the time, that your guest list is super impressive. It doesn't get much better than the, you always seem to get the guests that people want to hear from. Do you still love doing interviews?
Oh yeah. I'm passionate about it. I teach a course. We have a course at my broadcasting school at Full Sail, and it's interviewing. And your degree is in sportscasting. I want you to understand how to interview somebody. And every single interview, I grade myself. We had Doc Rivers on today, and Doc was talking about James Harden's relationship and Ben Simmons. And I thought it was a really good interview because Doc allowed it to be a really good interview. And I always tell people, if you want to be a good interviewer, be curious, be selfless, and be a good listener. And if you have those going in, then you have a chance to have a good interview. Most of the time, we get in the way of what can be a good interview because our questions are too long. They're close-ended. You want to let the audience know that you know what the answer is going to be. And that just doesn't... So you really have to go into it wanting to do it. And every single day, no matter who the guest is, what am I getting from them that they're going to give you an answer that your audience goes, oh, did you hear this guy was on with Dan Patrick? And the best compliment you can give me in this business is you're a good interviewer, because that means I care about my audience. I care about the person I'm talking to, and I'm doing it the right way.
I think you're a great interview because you don't do cookie cutter interviews. You seem to do them differently. And what you just said fascinates me about the way you said you sort of evaluate every interview.
Yep.
If you don't mind, I'm going to take a minute here to make this about me for a second, but it blows me away that you said that, because I had Bill Simmons on last week on this podcast. It was the first time I ever had Bill on. Don't really have that much of a relationship with him. So, you know, I was not nervous. That wasn't the word, but I knew it was a big deal. And when the interview was over, a good friend of mine in the business, I don't want to say his name because it was, you know, he texted me privately, said, how was Simmons? And I said, Simmons was great. I hated my performance. I didn't think I was doing too much Q&A back and forth, not enough just have a conversation. And this person who does interviews as well wrote back to me and said, wow, it blows me away that you evaluate yourself like that.
You have to. You should.
That's.
I mean, you can't take it for granted. If somebody thinks I'm a really good interviewer, so there's pressure on every interview. And so now be critical. You have to look at it and go, how was that question? Could have been phrased differently. When did I ask that question? How did I start? How did it finish? And I go into it like I'm trying to win when I do these interviews. I want you to, and I always tell people, don't interview, have a conversation with. Because nobody wants to be interviewed, but they like to be talked to. Like, let's just talk, have a conversation. My goal is to get you to drop your guard, because most coaches and athletes, everybody, they don't want to say something in an interview unless they really want to, they have an agenda. But if you can get them to say something they didn't think they were going to say, now you've done your job. And that's my goal. My goal is to get you to talk, to have a conversation, not interrogate you, because nobody wants that. Then that's not what the job is. But I do find that the people I'm interviewing, look, they're athletes. You must compete with them. I'm competing with you. I want you to know I did my homework. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to ask you a question, and I may follow up with one. And I think I view it as sort of a competition that I want to have a conversation with you. I want to get something out of you, whether you want to give it to me or not.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
I have another radio question to get into here on interviewing, and then we'll talk about your book and then a couple other things. This is sort of, there's two issues here. I'm curious as you, for your take as someone in sports media, someone who was at ESPN, there seems to be a backlash there about Pat McAfee. I find it a little bizarre because I get what ESPN's trying to do. They're trying to bring in a new audience. Pat's got a younger audience, a different audience. And there's a lot of rumblings, a lot of leaks, it seems like, anti-McAfee stuff coming out. Let's start with that, and then I have a second part. What do you, what is your, have you been following that? Do you have a take on it?
I don't have a, I haven't followed it, but okay. I know a lot of what happened with Pat was he was an underdog, started out, then all of a sudden gaining success and then more success. And then he was doing wrestling. I mean, he was doing everything he needed to do to build his brand. And then he left and went to ESPN. ESPN had just let people go. Oh my gosh, they're paying him that amount of money. So there's backlash maybe there. And I don't know what kind of dripped over into College Game Day, because let's face it, with Coach Corso, how long is he going to be on there on the set? And they're looking for somebody who has a dynamic personality. Herbie and Desmond don't have that dynamic personality. They're football guys. Reese Davis does an incredible job as a host. So what is that entertainment value? Who's going to be that guy? And Pat, and sometimes you may consciously or subconsciously not realize you're trying too hard. And I don't know if people have a backlash because, you know, they may feel like Pat's trying to be the villain or trying to be the agitator. I find him incredibly smart. I find him interesting. He's funny. He has changed the whole dynamic with this. And but as far as, you know, who likes him or doesn't like him, all I know is I grew up in the era of Howard Cosell, and 50% loved him and 50% hated him, but 100% were tuning in for him.
Yep. That's the famous Howard Stern private parts scene there about his listeners. And what do you think of him? The story came out that he pays Aaron Rodgers for the weekly interview.
Well, there's a lot of local radio shows that do this.
Right.
A lot of big-time radio shows who pay people money to show up. It just, it, you know, are you a journalist or not? And Pat's not a journalist. He's an entertainer. And I do think that journalism is really with small letters now. I don't think there's a lot of people who aspire to be journalists anymore. You know, Bob Lee may be the last true journalist in this business, or Jeremy Schapp. I mean, people that I worked with, but I don't know, you know, I don't know if people think that you can make a great living by being a journalist. You got to be an entertainer. You got to get clicks, and you got, so it's exploded. And whatever Pat's approach is to entertainment, and you want to pay somebody to come on, fine. I'm not tuning in for journalism with Pat. I'm tuning in for entertainment. And if he wants to have Aaron Rodgers on, and Aaron Rodgers wants to say whatever he wants to say, I mean, that's Pat's show and Pat's audience. And ESPN has to answer for that. Me? It doesn't matter. I haven't been there in 17 years.
Well, do you think ESPN is off the hook in a little way, in a little bit of a way where they, now my brain is frying and I'm not remembering the phrasing. They just simulcast Pat's show. Like, they don't own Pat's show. Like, Pat still owns his show. It's more of a Pat's renting space sort of on ESPN type of deal. Does that take any?
Well, who's paying?
ESPN.
Yeah, then it's ESPN. Yeah.
So the last thing on this, the other criticism Pat gets from some people is that he doesn't push back on Rodgers. Now, me personally, I wouldn't expect him to, given what that interview is.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, if you think he should be pushing back when Rodgers is saying some things that some people don't agree with.
I don't want to program anybody's show, Jimmy, because it's his show. It's his interpretation. He's not programming mine. Nobody else is programming. And I wouldn't want them. I mean, you may be critical of how I do it or I don't have hot takes. That's fine. This is how I want to do it. This is who I am. And that's who Pat is. Would I like to see him push back? Yeah. If Aaron was on my show, would there be pushback? Yeah. But I was brought up in a different era. I mean, I'm 30 years older than Pat McAfee. I came in at CNN, you know, doing things where the product was most important and you had to be a journalist and approach it that way. Pat didn't, you know, he was a punter.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's got a show and he's making millions of dollars and I got Nick Saban and Aaron Rodgers and I'm going to have them on and I'll compensate them. Fine. I don't care.
I'm blown away. I don't know if you faced this because I never felt like you had that many detractors, but I'm blown away. And there's so many people like this. And we mentioned before, I'm just blown away by the people that don't like something and watch it. Just blows my mind away. I don't get it.
Well, I remember, you know, for a long time with Howard Stern, people would say, you know, I can't believe you like Howard Stern. I said, have you listened? And they'll go, no. And I'll go, well, then how can you say that? They had an impression of Howard. And right. I said, just listen. You know, he does say a lot of things, you know, people that he stands up for and groups he stands up for. And yeah, are there times when, you know, it's cringy? Yes. But I mean, people who don't listen to certain music, and I'll go, have you tried it? No, I know I wouldn't like it. And I'll go, well, try it. And then if you don't, then fine. But right. I think we get caught up in somebody's going to tell you what to like or not like. Therefore, you're not going to fight through it and go, you know what, maybe let me form my own opinion on something.
Right. Well, my bigger issue is the people who try it, dislike it, and then still watch it and then complain about it. Just don't watch it. You'll be much happier. All right, let's shift gears here. Like I said, you have a book out. It's called The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football. You wrote it with Joel Cohen from The Simpsons. Tell the listeners what they can expect in this book.
Well, it's the history of the NFL. So we have every team. We talk about players, great players, maybe not so great players. We do it without the burden of being truthful. It's fun and something different. All of these football books have to do with history, tradition, and gladiators, and it's always serious. And Joel and I and some other writers, we just looked at some topics and we said, let's have fun with this. And so we kind of went through things that how we fix penalties. We talked about what you bring to a tailgate. We talked about the immaculate reception presented as a sermon. We talk about the butt fumble, the media's impact, trash talk. We even look forward ahead to the 2073 season of what football is like. So it was really just, let's have fun with this. And hopefully people understand that we're poking fun at some things. Other things we do embrace, and there is, we do research in it, and we do tell the truth. There's some things that we fabricate just a little bit, but it was enjoyable, and he's a very bright guy and a brilliant writer for The Simpsons, and we kind of fell into it because he wanted me to be a broadcaster on an episode of The Simpsons where Homer is doing rock skipping competition and I'm going to be the play-by-play announcer. And then we got through with that. And then we just started talking about all these football items. And then he said, hey, do you want to write a book? And then we kind of collaborated every couple of weeks or so, month, and kind of just decided, hey, can we throw all this together in the blender and make a book? And for better or worse, we did. Here it is.
And the book is called The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, with written by Dan Patrick and Joel Cohen. So let me ask you this. If I put you in charge of the NFL for one day, and you can make one change, and it could be any change you want to the NFL, what would it be?
I'd probably have everything reviewable.
Everything?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You want 9-hour games?
No. We review every single play in the game already.
Well, that's true.
So there's a play, and then we watch it, and then we watch it a couple angles, and then another angle, and then there's another play. If you could expedite this where you're actually looking at it, the home office looks at it and says, hey, there's something. Now, you don't have to review every play. It's just every call. And every play is not reviewed. But if you had every call, I think roughing the passer should be reviewable because it is extremely important. And I think that we're protecting the quarterback to a degree that is, I don't think it's great for the game. I think you still have to be fair to the defense. You don't want to go, God, the defense is getting a little better. Let's change the rules again to give the offense. And scoring is down this year.
Right.
Statistics show scoring is down. I don't know what the competition committee does to get more scoring there, but I would probably have everything open to review. If your job is to get it right, your goal is to get it right, you have all the gambling implications, you have fantasy implications here, then you owe it to your audience to get it right. You can't go, hey, we missed the call in the Colts game. We shouldn't have called pass interference on the defensive back. Well, let's say you got money on that. I think we're headed to a situation that's going to be uncomfortable for the NFL with gambling. Whether it's a call, something happens, a gambler is upset, we're way too comfortable with it. And having been a former gambler, I'm not comfortable with it. I hope there is no issues, but when you have that much money that's on the line and now everybody's gambling and now all of a sudden an official makes a bad call and when that cost you, let's say 10 grand, 20 grand, 50 grand, can something happen? Hopefully not, but we kind of moved quickly into this, Jimmy, when nobody was going to go into gambling. And I said, they're all liars. They're going to go in when they know what they can make out of this. And that's exactly what happened. Everybody got their money. Commissioner said, nope, we're not going to go. We're not going to be in gambling. What changed? Nothing changed other than they realized the amount of money that was available. That concerns me.
I talk about this so much in this podcast. My listeners are probably sick of it. I had a whole big thing with Simmons about it last week, but I am a gambler who has wanted gambling to be legal, and I am stunned, beyond stunned, by how it's infiltrated the broadcast. They still won't touch it during the games, but in the NFL. In the NBA, they touch it during the games. I said this, you know, they have Barkley cutting in the middle of the game to tell us what his FanDuel parlay is or DraftKings or whatever. The pregame shows are basically a one-hour DraftKings and FanDuel commercial. I never thought it would get to that.
There's so much money.
Right.
There's just way too much money, Jimmy. That's why follow the money. Everybody got paid. Now everybody's comfortable. I mean, my show is sponsored by DraftKings. But I do say to my audience, look, I gambled. I made money and I got out. But there's a lot of bad stories out there where people start out on a $50 bet. Maybe you're going to be a $100 parlay. Next thing you know, you lose. Then you double up. And then you're down $2,000. Well, $2,000 may not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but to some people it is. And then all of a sudden, and if you have a personality like I have, and that is, I'm competitive. And you start gambling and you think you're smarter than everybody. You're not. And I tell my audience, love DraftKings is a sponsor, but Do it for entertainment. Don't try to make a living out of this. Have fun with it, but know what you can bet. Know your means. Know your bottom line. I exceeded that. Last bet I ever made, $3,000. And I didn't.
Do you remember what the game was?
It was a bowl game.
A bowl game.
A long time ago, Arkansas and Oklahoma. And I was up $6,000. I bet $3,000. So I lost $3,300. And that was it. I stopped betting. And
Because why, though? Give me the specific reason why.
I knew that I was going to end up being down. I just knew it. And for some reason, I'm all in. When I'm not in, I'm not in at all. And I just said, that's it. And I have friends who ask me. My neighbor asked me on Sunday morning. He's a Patriots fan, 27 years, season ticket holder. He said, I don't know if I'm going to go to the game. I said, I think you guys are going to win. He goes, we're 8.5-point underdog. I said, I think you guys are going to win. I see him last night. He goes, hey, you weren't shitting me. How did you know that? I go, I just a feeling. I would never bet on that. He goes, next time you feel that way, let me know. I go, no. Nobody ever gives me money when I'm right. They just complain when I'm wrong.
Of course.
I have friends who will say, who do you like? When somebody says, who do you like? That person's gambling. And I always say, look, I don't want to tell you something where you're going to put money down. I know that bad things can happen. And everybody goes, no. You know, it's like when I go to Vegas, I know how much I can lose. I go, okay, right, fair enough. Just like forewarning here.
Yeah. It's, I do feel like there's been more attention on the refs and the bad calls. And I heard Peter King on with Mad Dog Russo on Tuesday, because it was, and he said he thinks it's because of the gambling, and now you're saying it. So there's obviously, there's something there. There's definitely, and it didn't occur to me as someone who's a gambler, but I think that, and it's funny because I wrote in my column on Monday about the bad officiating, and I said everything under 2 minutes needs to be reviewed. You want everything reviewed. So you're going way radical.
Jim Irsay said that everything in the final two minutes should be reviewable. I think he's going to get in trouble for saying that because from the standpoint of he was told that the refs made a couple of mistakes in the final 2 minutes of that loss to the Browns. But if I'm watching that game and I had money on it, I mean, I'd be livid because one of the two was definitely not interference. And the ball was not catchable. But if it's reviewed, then they can clean up the mistake. I just worry that they had this opportunity, and I don't want it to slow down the game, but I want it to improve the game. And I think you could accomplish both. It used to be instant replay. Remember that? Now it's just called replay.
Right.
And they never did it in an instant. It was, we'll eventually get to it, replay. And then, you know, then we feel like, oh, it's slowing the game down. Count the amount of time in between plays. There's very little action in an NFL game. It's like that's 4 seconds, and then we'll replay it, and then replay it, and then maybe another replay, and then there's another play. I think you can do this, you know, correctly and help preserve the integrity of the game and fantasy and certainly gambling there.
They're going to have to do something. There's no doubt about it. Couple of things before we wrap it up. I appreciate the fact that you allowed me to ask you about radio and some topical things before we did the plug for the Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football. And I say that because I saw on Awful Announcing recently that this is the 10-year anniversary of your famous Qualcomm interview with Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, I still think about that interview occasionally. Is that like in the career of Dan Patrick, is that something that is on the list of like, well, that was some bullshit right there?
Well, if you do 3 hours a day, you're going to run into those moments. And that's where, so you have Matt Harvey, he's pitching for the Mets. You're in New York. I think that he is well aware of the quid pro quo when you have a product and I get to ask you a couple of questions. You get to ask me a couple of questions. I get to make my plug. Great. When I'm asking him about, you know, his surgery, and he said, I'm just here to talk about Qualcomm. And I thought, Wait. So you want me to have you on so you can just talk about Qualcomm communications? And he was under the impression that that's what you do. And I'm going, he's in New York and he doesn't understand how the game works. Right. And right. I thought, well, whoever is working with him or Qualcomm, I had this issue with Kyler Murray at the Super Bowl years ago in Atlanta. He just wanted to talk about Gatorade. He didn't want to talk
the
about
the Super Bowl. That's all. I mean, that doesn't surprise me because the Super Bowl is basically one big pitch your product interview at Radio Row.
But everybody knows that you must answer questions.
Right.
And he didn't
want
to talk about playing football or baseball. He just wanted to talk about Gatorade. And I thought somebody needs to help these kids just to say, hey, this here, let's sit down. I'm going to give you a for instance. They're going to ask you about this and this and this, and then you're going to answer, and then they'll probably reintroduce you. Say, Matt Harvey of the Mets joining us in the Dan Patrick Show, and then he's probably going to say, tell me what you're doing on behalf of Qualcomm. I mean, that's what they need to do with these young athletes. If you're going to endorse something, we'll get around to it. I've had some big-name people who two questions in will then take the interview and go, well, I just, you know, I want to make sure that we talk about, you know, this insurance company that blah, blah, blah. And I go, you know, we'll get to that. We'll get to all of that. But they're so nervous about it. But I think some of them don't understand what quid pro quo means when you're doing an interview.
I wonder why the Kyler Murray one didn't get sort of the attention that the Matt Harvey one did.
Oh, no. Kyler Murray did. I had two people who worked for two different NFL teams who said they are showing that interview in the facility of whether or not they would draft Kyler Murray if he was available.
That's unbelievable.
There was some true apprehension of, oh my God, this kid is freezing up on stage live and didn't know what to say. I mean, he could have easily danced around it. It was a painful interview. It was live. To his credit, he did come back. I don't know how long after that. I mean, it was a while. It was probably a year later. And he did apologize, and he laughed at it. But, you know, in the moment, like, it's survival. Because now I'm mad at you. Now I'm going to be embarrassed. I don't care about your feelings. But I was trying to help him. He was like 21 years of age, and he wouldn't answer anything. And then he sat there. He was quiet. His dad is, I don't know, 60 feet away across the room. I'm interviewing his dad live, yelling at his dad about, and I'd gotten word that Kyler, if he was going to be a top 10 or top 5 pick, was going to play football. And so I had a heads up with that, but I was trying to get him to give me a little bit. He didn't give me anything. And then I'm like, all right, sorry, hell with you. I'm pulling the ripcord and I'll send you down to Radio Row.
In his defense, at least I know what Gatorade is. I still to this day don't know what Qualcomm is, but that's a whole other issue.
It's a communication company. People still will call up and they'll go, hey, like my listeners, they'll go, hey, I'm just here to talk about Qualcomm. And, you know, those who get it. And, you know, we laugh about it. But if you do this long enough, you're going to run into those moments where you go, this is a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're live. It's not a podcast. Yeah. I mean, I've had that I've told this story a million times. I had Gronk on once and he answered every question by plugging Tide. So I just didn't run the podcast. You're screwed. You got it live. So,
well, I just cut him off. I mean, if you're not going to do it and be professional, then I'll just send you on your way.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you in doing the research and getting past all of the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick stuff, when I finally got to the radio legend Dan Patrick, I saw that there was a poll recently done by your crew on your Twitter page about you blowing off a Rolling Stones concert.
Yeah.
So here's what I need to know. Have you seen the Rolling Stones before?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's a huge... Because if you hadn't, then I'd have to give you a little bit of shit for not going.
Oh, if I hadn't seen them, then I would have gone. It was a private showing. A record rep said, I got one ticket for you. It was the day of, and it was last Thursday, I think. And then, But I could have taken the day off on Friday, but I didn't want to do that. I mean, why take the day off just because I wanted to go see the Stones? It was going to be late night in New York, and I'd have to get back and be after midnight. And I didn't want to have a, bad performance on Friday. And, everybody was like, how could you not go see the Stones? And I go, well, I saw them. And this is when Jagger wore the John Sciara Eagles uniform when he was on stage. And they had a large phallic symbol that came out of the stage. And I mean, the Stones were awesome back then. And then there's part of you that, do I want to see them now? Do I want to see The Who now? I saw The Who back. I saw The Who and The Stones, Bowie, Zeppelin, Aerosmith, all in kind of the same era. And it was awesome. I got to see.
What did you think? Because I'm a big Aerosmith guy, but when I saw them in concert, I was very disappointed. What did you make of Aerosmith?
I saw them back in 1973, 74, and they had Dream On. And, Steven Tyler was, he was great. And Joe Perry was a wonderful guitar player. And the sound was awesome. And I I'm watching, I'm going, man, he's doing his damnedest to look like Jagger and act like Jagger, maybe sound like Jagger. And then you had, Keith Richards with Joe Perry trying to be Keith, which is not a bad group to try to emulate, but right. I thought they put on an unbelievable show. And I was very fortunate to be able to see a lot of these, concerts. In fact, I had tickets to The Who show in Cincinnati when 11 people died and didn't go into the concert that night. Yeah, I had the ticket and not a ticket stub. I had the ticket and, there were ambulances up on the viaduct there at Riverfront Coliseum. And there were two entrances. There was glass all over the place. There was ambulances, body bags. And, people said, did The Who know what happened? And I think they are on record as saying they didn't know. And they did put on the concert. And that to me is a great escape. I love music, but I went to see Britney Spears by myself in Los Angeles during the NBA Finals with the Lakers like 21 years ago. And I don't apologize for it. I'm like, hey, I wanted to
see. And nor should you. And nor should you.
No, but people are like, first of all, you went to a Britney Spears show. Second of all, you went by yourself. I'm like, yeah, nobody else would go. I'm at the NBA Finals. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go see her perform. I went to see, One Direction. Let me see what it's all. I'd love to see Taylor Swift. Didn't get a
chance.
What
did you think of Britney that night when you saw her?
I think she had like 9 outfit changes. I mean, she put on a great show.
So, will you read the Britney book?
No. No. Okay. If she reads it to me, yes. But the answer is no. I don't need to know that much about her.
So you've seen Taylor Swift in concert?
No. Oh, you've
not? Okay.
No, I wanted to.
Right.
And I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. Right. I have no apologies for that either. Like, hey, I like the music. I'll try everything. And there's certain things that I'm not going to sign off on, but at least I've tried that. And Taylor Swift, hey, I'm all in, Taylor.
Can't dispute her success. That's true. Can't dispute your success either.
Segway.
There you go. Dan Patrick on Peacock, Fox Sports Radio. And of course, go check out the Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, written with Joel Cohen from The Simpsons. Dan, appreciate it as always. Thanks for doing this. And
thank you, Jimmy.
Enjoy the rest of the NFL season here, even though we don't have replay for every play.
And good luck in your gambling, Jimmy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week, from WFAN Radio in New York. Let me start off. I'm so flustered by the Carl Banks thing. I got to start over. All right, here we go. 3, 2. All right, joining me now, as he does every week, from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. Good to talk to you today.
Anything new?
No, nothing really new. Looking forward to another great NFL Sunday. I got to have you over. Are you coming over Sunday or no?
Let me see. Sunday. Let's see what the, let me see something. Sunday, huh?
Sunday. Dude, there are 9 1:00 games.
Right, but wait a second. Are you going to be like all locked in on the Jets and Giants? I can't watch that game.
Jaguars
Steelers is a good game. Rams, Cowboys, Eagles, Commander, Browns, Seahawks, that's a 4:05. I can't sit there and get locked in on the Jets and Giants. They're unwatchable teams.
Understood, but that because, dude, I just made the best purchase of my life. And it is funny.
Glad you brought this up.
The beginning of the year, I said I wasn't going to get it, the Sunday ticket. And now, not only do I have the Sunday ticket, I bought the YouTube base plan. So I can get the local game in the 4-game mix, which is a freaking life changer. So to answer your question, yeah, the Giants-Jets game will be one of 4 games on the big screen, and we'll have the 2 additional games on the side.
You are an absolute piece of work. You spent the whole summer telling me you weren't going to get Sunday ticket. You weren't going to get Sunday ticket. You're just watching the Jets and Giants. You're not watching any other games. You're not getting Sunday ticket. Week one comes. I get the text. I got Sunday ticket. It's fine. I knew that was going to happen. I said it all along. I knew it was going to happen. And now last week on Sunday morning, I get the text that he got YouTube TV. So now you have YouTube TV and you have cable. You have Optimum or whatever the hell it is, Altice or
right.
Cablevision. So, and so now you got YouTube TV, whatever it is, $50 a month.
Yeah.
Just so you can get the Jets and Giants on the boxes on the multi-view.
Not
You're
just the
sick,
Jets and Giants.
Sick.
I got it.
Sick first individual.
All, it's $52 a month for first time users for I think like 5 months or something. But it's not just the Jets Giants game. It's any local game in our market that right. would otherwise be blacked out from the mix right. is now right. available. So I have it all. At 4:00 instead of 3 TVs. For 4 games, I have 1 big screen for 4 games, nice and clean. And even the Jets and Giants now, when they're on, I get them on the big screen. I love it. I wish I did it earlier.
Not only are you sick, but then you do this and you're moving at any day.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. Not any day, maybe like January.
All right. So you'll get the season in.
Yeah, I'm going to try to drag it out as much as I can. I would say January, February, we're going to be out.
This and is.
I know.
Just
but point is, you got to come over. If not this weekend, at some point, and just
maybe
take it
the
all
weekend.
In.
But this is what's good. You have to have friends who are animals because then you feel less like an animal. Like I don't want to come to your house animal? On Sunday because I don't want to watch the Jets and Giants. Like that's ridiculous behavior. Also.
Yeah, that is true. And like you said, it's only going to be one part. It's one game on 6 screens. You know. Now, it probably will have the sound on, I'm not going to lie to you, but you know, if you want to, you don't even care about the sound, do you?
I mean, I usually like the sound on the game where I have my biggest bet.
Which this week, do you know where that is yet or no?
I have no, I do not know yet. I'm still scarred from the Giants over 16.5 points last week. Kayvon Thibodeau can't. They have 14 at halftime, and the guy drops a pick six. One of the most disgusting performances I've ever seen in my life.
By the way, since you mentioned it, I wasn't going to bring it up, but Kayvon Thibodeau, the issue, we just had an issue with Carl Banks on our radio show. I kind of like had to hang up on him. It was because I was ripping Kayvon Thibodeau, and he was basically calling us fools for doing that. And meanwhile, Thibodeau cost you money. That's my friend. He cost my friend money there. Of course I'm going to rip Kayvon Thibodeau.
Well, I mean, see, I don't even know if that's a play worth, like, it's such a ridiculous play. I don't even know if he should be ripped for, like, it's not even a real play. But I'll tell you right now, just looking at the lines, you know what game I like the most? I can't believe I'm about to say this. I love the Jets, -3. The Giants aren't going to score against the Jet defense.
See, I actually like the Giants in this game.
They can't score, the Giants.
I understand. Well, neither can the Jets, really.
No, but I think the Jet defense will...
What's the over-under in that game? Could it be higher than 30, 24?
36 and a half. There's no over-under is 24.
Oh, I mean, it should be. This game might be a 5-0.
It's 36 and a half, and that game will go under.
You'll go under if you were to bet it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you care at all about the Diamondbacks and the Rangers in the World Series?
No. No, the only thing that I think about is, like, if that could happen, then why can the Mets and Yankees not go to the World Series next year? Like, it's such a crapshoot.
Well, exactly. I think the lesson that needs to be learned here, and I think this is the case every year, there's two lessons. One, I think all sports are like this, but baseball more than the rest. It's all about getting hot at the right time. Like, you can go, you know, 30-10 in June and July. It doesn't matter. You have to get hot in September.
Right.
And I think the other issue is payroll is this. I think there's two other issues. One, having a high payroll doesn't mean you're going to do anything. And three, home field advantage is not a big deal. And I think that's across all sports. Maybe not the NBA, but in the NFL, in college football and baseball, home field is not what it used to be. It's just not. Right. It used to be such a big deal. I don't think it is anymore.
So we as sports fans and sports bettors have to evolve our thought process.
Right.
Because logically speaking, you'd be like, well, there's no chance the Diamondbacks are going to go to the World Series, and there's definitely no chance they're going to win two games in a row in Philadelphia. Right. Same thing with the – like, how could every home team lose every game? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But the way that sports have evolved, anything's possible.
You said it. It's a crapshoot. You got to get hot at the right time. The payroll at the end of the – you need a high payroll to be competitive, but it's not going to assure you anything. And home field is overrated. Those are the lessons I've learned.
Yep.
So – next week is Halloween. Will you get dressed up?
Yes.
With the family because of your daughter. Okay.
Yes.
What are the costumes?
I am going to be Kermit the Frog. My wife is going to be Fozzie Bear. My daughter is going to be Miss Piggy.
I can't rip that. Do you get a lot of trick or treaters where you live? No, you got a young daughter. You got to get dressed up.
But it's just the way you said it. Like, I can't rip that. Have you ever dressed up in your life in costume?
I mean, when I was a kid.
No, I'm talking about like an adult life, have a party or.
No, I can't even. I'm trying to think. Halloween party.
If I said like we're having a Halloween party at our house, you know.
Yeah, I would come and I'd get dressed. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I would. Right. I'd rather not, but I would. I don't remember ever Halloween. Like, I'm trying to remember if I've even gone to a Halloween party.
Hmm.
I know one of my friends had an 80s party, and I got dressed up for that.
Of course, that's your wheelhouse. You love that.
Right, right. But Halloween is just, I've never been into it in my life, ever. Stupid.
I always used to hate it.
Yeah. You know, like, if I want candy, I'll go to the store and I'll buy candy.
Eggs, or the sock with flour, and fire hydrants. Yeah.
Everybody behaving like animals.
Last one on that, though. I don't feel like we get as many trick-or-treaters as we used to when we were kids. That's how I feel. I don't know if that's accurate.
I think it's because people are like, because we live in this crazy time right now, I think people are nervous and they don't. I know in my crazy Italian family where they're scared of their own shadow. They're like, don't go trick-or-treating. They'll put fentanyl in the candy or whatever. You know, whatever. It's nonsense. Like crazy people. It's, you know.
Good point.
What else? Oh, I wanted to just say quickly, I didn't do this and I should have done this. I have to give a shout out to everyone who reached out to me about Simmons on the pod last week. Like, I got sort of overwhelmed by the feedback. It was insane. So I just want to thank everyone for listening and everyone who reached out. I meant to do that earlier and I forgot, but thank you for the very nice words on the Bill Simmons podcast last week.
Even I was so big that I was getting texts about your spot, like, oh, Jimmy got Simmons. And I was like, yeah, you know.
Multiple. Well, here's a funny story for you. So I told you last week I was going to go to Billy Joel on Friday night.
Yeah.
So I went to Billy Joel Friday night. And when the concert was over, we're trying to get out of the garden. And you know how it is with those steps, like where there's like a million people going down the steps and you sort of like go in an S shaped with the stairs when you're leaving.
Yes.
So I'm walking down the steps and someone's screaming my name, but the person was like on the opposite end of going down, on the S of going down the steps. So I turn around and it was someone that I went to grade school and middle school and high school with, but I didn't recognize him because I'm bad like that. It's just,
right.
I don't, you know. So, but it was like one of those really awkward things because I couldn't really stop. Because you have people behind you going down, thousands of people going. So when I had the opportunity, I stopped. And then even that, we're like by a doorway and it's just not the place for a stop and chat. It's a bad place for stop and chat. So I felt bad. But the guy came over, he said, I'll get Mike Birnbaum from high school and appreciate seeing you. He said he had nice words to say about the podcast and he said he listens every week. And he said, I didn't get a chance to listen to Bill Simmons yet. So when he said that, I said, oh, he's actually not bullshitting. He's a legitimate listener because he knew Simmons was on this week. Because a lot of people say, oh, I listen. And then you ask him one question and they don't know. So I felt bad. I couldn't really do like the full stop and chat. It was a really, you know, that's just a bad place for it. Appreciated his kind words. So I wanted to say that because I felt bad.
That's very nice.
Getting out of that garden is not good for people with anxiety and panic attacks. It is tight, tight.
Especially if you do it down the stairwell. Why didn't you just do it down the escalator?
I was with didn't want to go. No, the escalators are closed when you... We went down the escalators, but the escalators weren't... They shut them off.
Right. Okay, but they're shut off, but you could still go down that way.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Right. Oh, I thought you meant down the staircase.
There's both. There's stairs and there's the escalator next to each other. But the escalator is shut off. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But I had to say that. So,
okay.
And I got so lucky at Billy. The four seats, like we had seats in the middle of the row, and the four seats to my left, with the four seats to the aisle, empty.
Wow.
I had all the space I needed. As a fat person, you don't know how huge that is.
I have not been to Billy since 2019, and you going makes me want to go again. Like, I feel like.
Well, you better go because the residency is over in July.
Right, so there's several months still left, and he's doing New Year's Eve at UBS.
Yeah, I saw that.
Are you going?
New Year. I don't have any plans to. I've seen him on New Year's Eve twice. It's a good show.
I was there with you for one of them.
Oh, that's right. But
Barclay, 2013.
Yeah, he's the MSG thing ends in July, so you got November, December, January, February, March, April, May. Yeah, you got like 8 or 9 more opportunities to see him.
Now that I think about it, you and I have spent a couple of New Year's Eve together. Didn't we do Foxwoods or Mohegan one New Year's?
Oh, yeah. There was one degenerate New Year's Eve in the mix for sure. I don't know what it is, but the other day out of nowhere, I had such a hankering to play craps. I haven't been to a casino since like before COVID because now I'm really repulsed by, like since COVID, I'm really repulsed by casinos. Like just... Everybody's on top of you at those tables, breathing on you. The chips are probably the most filthiest thing in the world. Thank God they got rid of the smoking. I mean, it used to be where people were smoking in your face. But so I haven't been in a long time. And the other day, I don't know what it was. I think I may have heard someone. I know what it was. I was listening to the Stern Show, and John Hine was talking about how he helped JD learn how to play craps. And it gave me such a... Now, when I play craps, I play the don't pass, which is a whole other issue that I don't want to get into. Right. Are you familiar with craps? Do you know how craps works?
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
So I play against the table. And I've almost gotten beaten up a couple of times. And I'm not lying about that. I lay low. I don't root against the table. I lay low. But there's been guys screaming in my face, you're a fucking mush, and this and this. It's not pretty.
Well, because you're smart by betting against the table. Like, people don't want to hear that, but it's smart to bet against people because people generally lose.
Yeah. The bottom line is, forget me coming over Sunday for football. We need a Borgata or Mohegan Sun day or during the week when it's not too crowded. Take off from your radio show. Boom, 24 hours.
I have not been to a casino, I feel like, in forever, like where I've actually played. Yeah.
Me either.
Hankering for it. Yeah. You animal.
Yeah, animals. You guys got YouTube TV with cable. So now let me ask you this. At night during the week, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, are you watching cable or YouTube TV?
Cable. YouTube TV. Although what I will say is that in my limited dealings, like, I love that they have multi-view even so I got it Sunday. So Sunday night, I could pull up a multi-view channel of the Eagles and then the Astros game. So I'm watching, like, the only two games that matter to me, you know, the two games that are on in sports, I could watch them both on a multi-view split screen. And I think it could even be better moving forward where they could just say, here's a multi-view, put your four channels that you want to watch in there. Or two, whatever it is.
When you're looking at new houses, you haven't gotten one yet, but when you're looking, are you constantly thinking about what your TV setup is going to be? Your TV room? Is that the number one priority? Like, forget your wife and kid. The number one priority has to be the TV room. Who cares if it's a good school district? How will my TV room be?
Yeah. It's probably like my wife is concerned with the school.
Yeah.
And then we'll see something that's nice and the school is great. I go, yeah, but. And she's like, well, it doesn't have enough space for the theater room. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it is a big part of it. And I'll tell you this. Where I was starting to be like, I don't really need that. Now after this YouTube TV stuff, no chance. That is non-negotiable. I need it. I need to have that.
Every Sunday I sit there and I'm like, I can't believe how good this is.
It's the greatest
picture,
thing ever.
The picture of it is, I can't believe what shit DirecTV was. That's what I can't believe.
No streaming issues. If so, it's very minimal that I've experienced through 8 weeks now or 7 weeks, whatever it's been. No issues whatsoever. I got three of them going at once. It is the YouTube. YouTube TV should take bows for their service.
I agree. All right, let's end it on a nice compliment there for YouTube TV.
All right.
I'm going to check in with you later here about you with your radio issues. And
no, it's not a big deal, but it was, you know. Testy spot.
I gotta hear the story. All right, Sal. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.
Talk to you later.
All right, my many thanks to Dan Patrick and Sal Licata. If you are not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit that subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, and leave a review as well if you can. And if you've missed any recent episodes, go into the archives and check them out. We had Bill Simmons on the podcast last week. 2 weeks ago, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were on together. So if you missed those, give them a listen. And again, subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle, We've got hybrids. No plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.